The warm waves of the Mediterranean wash over the beach as Leonardo da Vinci sits eating his lunch, looking out into the sea. Though it has been a long day of work for him already, he is in good spirits. He gazes out over the water, noticing seagulls nesting on the beach nearby. Leonardo finishes eating, then takes out his notebook and pen. He begins sketching the birds, fascinated by their flight. He decides he will take his sketches back with him and work on more of his flying machines later in the day.
Brains of the people are more interesting than the looks, I think.
Electric power is everywhere present in a limited quantity.
Jane, if you really want something and you work hard and you take advantage of opportunity and you never give up.
You're listening to Human Angle, a podcast that focuses on the hidden lives of scientists, asking what makes them human. I'm your co-host, Kim Castleberry, here with my lovely other co-host, Kenna Castleberry.
Thank you, Kim, and thank you to all of our listeners out there. Thanks to your efforts, we'll be able to continue making these episodes, highlighting stories that need to be shared. If you're a new listener and you enjoy our show, which I mean, who doesn't? Anyways, if you're a new listener, you can find our show on all your favorite platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Be sure to share, like, and subscribe, and if you enjoyed today's episode, let us know.
Today's episode is covering one of the most well-known men in history, though perhaps not as well-known for being a scientist. We're talking about Leonardo da Vinci, the famous painter and inventor. He is one of the few men who has done it all, from science to sculpting. While da Vinci's life is very well known, here we're only going to cover his contributions to science.
With that, it's time to dive in. Da Vinci was born in a Tuscan hamlet near Vinci in 1452. Da Vinci's parents both married separately the year after his birth, causing rumors to arise about his legitimacy. No one knows the truth about these rumors. Tax records indicate that by at least 1457, he lived in the household of his paternal grandfather, Antonio da Vinci. Da Vinci received only a basic and informal education in vernacular writing, reading, and mathematics, possibly because his artistic talents were recognized early, so his family decided to focus their attention there. Da Vinci began a 9-year apprenticeship at the age of 14 to Andrea del Verrocchio, a popular sculptor, painter, and goldsmith who was an important figure in the world of art of the day. At Verrocchio's busy Florence studio, the young Da Vinci likely met such masters as Sandro Botticelli, while working beside fellow apprentices Domenico Ghirlandaio, Pietro Perugino, and Lorenzo da Credi. Da Vinci not only developed his skill in drawing, painting, and sculpting during his apprenticeship, but through others working in and around the studio, he also picked up knowledge in such diverse fields as mechanics, carpentry, metallurgy, architectural drafting, and even chemistry. This began Da Vinci's early interest in science. Da Vinci's approach to science was observational. He tried to understand a phenomenon by describing it and depicting it in utmost detail, and did not emphasize experiments or theoretical explanation. Since he lacked formal education in Latin and mathematics, contemporary scholars mostly ignored Da Vinci the scientist, although he did end up teaching himself Latin. His keen observations in many areas were noted, such as when he wrote, "Il sol non si muove," the sun does not move. In the 1940s, he studied mathematics under Luca Pacioli and prepared a series of drawings on regular solids in the skeletal form to be engraved as plates for Pacioli's book Divina Proportione, published in 1509. While living in Milan, he studied light from the summit of Monte Rosa. Scientific writings in his notebook on fossils have been considered as influential on early paleontology. Upon the French invasion of Milan, the artist returned home via Venice and Mantua to Florence. His reputation preceded him, and he was lauded by old friends and up-and-coming artists captivated with his innovations in art. During this final era of his life, Da Vinci completed a great number of paintings that he had thus far. When he resettled in Florence in 1500, the artist made preliminary progress on his painting Virgin and Child with St. Anne, which he would set aside unfinished, not to be complete for another 10 years. Da Vinci began creating his most well-known and replicated work, the Mona Lisa, a couple years later when he received a commission from Francesco del Giocondo to paint his wife. The precise date of the completion for the Mona Lisa is still in question, but many historians agree that Da Vinci began the masterpiece in 1503.
While Da Vinci's experimentation followed scientific methods, a recent and exhaustive analysis of Da Vinci as a scientist by Fracha Capra argues that Da Vinci was a fundamentally different kind of scientist from Galileo, Newton, and other scientists who followed him in that as a Renaissance man. His theorizing and hypothesizing integrated the arts, and particularly painting. Da Vinci returned to Milan in 1506 to accept an official commission for an equestrian statue. Over the course of this seven-year residency in the city, the artist would produce a body of drawings on topics that range from human anatomy to botany, plus sketches of weaponry, inventions, and studies of birds in flight. The latter would lead to his exploratory drawings of human flight machines. All of his drawings during this time reflected Da Vinci's interest on how things are put together and how they work. Da Vinci started his study in the anatomy of the human body under the apprenticeship of Verrocchio, who demanded that his students develop a deep knowledge of the subject. As an artist, he quickly became master of topographic anatomy, drawing many studies of muscles, tendons, and other visible anatomic features. As a successful artist, Da Vinci was given permission to dissect human corpses at the Hospital of Santa Maria Novella in Florence, and later at hospitals in Milan and Rome. Da Vinci's anatomical drawings include many studies of the human skeleton and its parts, and of muscles and sinew. He studied the mechanical functions of the skeleton and the muscular forces that are applied to it in all manner that prefigured the modern science of biomechanics. He drew the heart and the vascular system, the sex organs, and other internal organs, making one of the first scientific drawings of a fetus in utero. The drawings and notations are far ahead of their time, and if published, would undoubtedly have made a major contribution to medical science. Da Vinci also closely observed and recorded the effects of age and of human emotion on physiology, studying in particular the effects of rage. He drew many figures who had significant facial deformalities or signs of illness. Da Vinci also studied and drew the anatomy of many animals, dissecting cows, birds, monkeys, bears, and frogs, and comparing in his drawings their anatomical structure with that of humans. He also made a number of studies of horses. Da Vinci's dissections and documentations of muscles, nerves, and vessels helped to describe the physiology and mechanics of movement. He attempted to identify the source of emotions and their expressions. He created models of the cerebral ventricles with the use of melted wax and constructed a glass aorta to observe the circulation of blood through the aorta valve by using water and grass seeds to watch flow patterns. During his lifetime, Da Vinci was also valued as an engineer. With the same rational and analytical approach that moved him to represent the human body and to investigate anatomy, Da Vinci studied and designed many machines and devices. He drew their autonomy with unparalleled mastery, producing the first form of the modern technical drawing, including a perfect exploded view technique to represent internal components. Those studies and projects collected in his codices filled more than 5,000 pages. When he fled Milan to Venice in 1499, he found employment as an engineer and devised a system of movable barricades to protect the city from attack. In 1502, he created a scheme for diverting the flow of the Arno River, a project on which Niccolò Machiavelli also worked. Da Vinci was fascinated by the phenomenon of flight for much of his life, producing many studies, including Codex on the Flight of Birds, circa 1505, as well as plans for several flying machines, such as a flapping ornithopter and a machine with a helical rotor. Similarities between Da Vinci's illustrations and drawings from the Middle Ages and from ancient Greece and Rome, the Chinese and Parisian empires in Egypt suggest that a large portion of Da Vinci's inventions had been conceived before his lifetime. Da Vinci's innovation was to combine different functions from existing drafts and set them into scenes that illustrated their utility. By reconstructing technical inventions, he created something new. Da Vinci died at Clos Lluc on May 2, 1519, at the age of 67, possibly of a stroke. One friend described him as, "There had never been another man born in the world who knew as much as Da Vinci, not so much about painting, sculpture, and architecture, as that he was a very great philosopher."
Yeah, what an interesting dude. I just feel bad for all the animals he dissected. It's interesting how obsessed he was about flight.
You know, I remember seeing a book on him in the library. Gosh, it was
really big.
Huge. And beautiful, and it had all the bird drawings, and
his drawings are just amazing.
Yeah, what a mind. It just, you think about that and think about, I almost wonder, did he time travel?
Well, for me, it's one of those, I look at his drawings, and I'm sure you would agree, like, looking at them, they have so much motion in them.
Mm-hmm, yeah, like, exactly.
They're not still, if that makes sense. Like, he's drawing things in motion. So, like, the birds, he's drawing them while they're flying. Or, you know, his flying machine, he's drawing it with the spinny rotors spinning.
I wonder, how does he see that in his mind so that he can draw it? You know, is it like playing out in slow motion? Or what, you know, are there little snippets that he's watching?
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those for me, like, he obviously, like, he's called a Renaissance man for a reason because he did so much stuff, but he also is so interesting because he's not only artistic, but he obviously has a really good 3D imaging system in his brain. Mm-hmm. So he can see things mm-hmm. very well in 3D. And that means he's able to not only sculpt, but also be able to, you know, be an engineer and invent things. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to our episode on Leonardo da Vinci. Stay tuned for our next episode on Ellen Ochoa, the first Latina woman to go to space.